Gee, agus Falchuk, Gee and Clark, come on Luke, Clark, Gale, and Shocked in the Shop. Let me, Tom Cormack, with you as usual on a Wednesday night. And as always, hope you can stay with us because obviously the main focus of our attention tonight is the big game in Ulster this weekend. It's the second of those Ulster semi finals in the senior football championship. Donegal, the reigning champions, take on Derry. That game in Clonus on Saturday night, and well, we'll be looking forward to that game with former Donegal star Brendan Devaney and well, former Derry All-Star forward Paddy Bradley. They'll be joining us in a moment to look ahead to that game. And of course, Donegal Miners and Donegal and Derry Miners meet in the Ulster Minor semi-final as well. That game is the curtain raiser to the senior game in Clonus. 5:15 to throw in for that particular game. Those games, by the way, both of them, you can hear them live exclusively here on Highland Radio on Saturday evening. So quite an extended sports programme on Saturday afternoon right into Sunday night or Saturday night, where Oisin Kelly and Rory Kavanagh will bring you full live coverage of Donegal versus Derry in that senior championship game. And it's Oisin on the mic as well for the minor game, with he'd be joined by Brendan Kilcoyne on the commentary on that one as well. So that's quite a busy weekend to look forward to. We'll be looking forward to that game in some depth with Brendan Devaney and Paddy Bradley. But first of all, Donegal are celebrating another success at ladies level this week. Of course, the under 21 ladies of Donegal defeated Longford last Saturday, this last Sunday down in Markovich Park in Sligo in the All-Ireland B Aisling McGinn Cup final. First ever appearance in the competition for Donegal, so obviously a first ever win. And well, earlier this evening I spoke to the victorious captain, Emer Gallagher. Well, delighted to have you on the programme tonight, Emer, and first of all, congratulations, captain of Donegal, an All-Ireland winning team, and the trophies and the medals keep coming.
Yes, definitely. It's kind of starting to sink in now, just, you know, if we did it the weekend, so Hoping that we can keep it up now with the seniors, and it should be a good year for us, yeah.
And defeated Longford in the final?
Yes, we did, but funnily, it wasn't until really the last 10 minutes of the game that we started, you know, to go out on our own. It was really a three-point game for the most of it, so Longford really did put it up to us, and we had a real challenge in our hands. But thank God, you know, in the last 10 minutes, we really did start to pull away for them and were able to relax a bit more.
And
yes, we played Roscommon, yeah, in the semi-final, and then before that it was Tyrone in the first round. So it was, and we were due to play Louth, but they actually pulled out of it. So we had the two games before the final. So it was good to have the team all together and have that team playing. Experience playing with each other before the final, and it really did stand to us those games.
Yeah, and of course quite a lot of you on the senior team as well, and have been playing together all year. That's bound to help as well, isn't it?
Yes, there was around 12 of us all together who had been up with the senior panel, and training with, you know, that calibre of players and players with that experience really showed on the pitch on Sunday. Whenever the pressure started to come on us, you know, that we were able to deal with it, and, you know, no matter how close Longford did come to us on the pitch, you know, we were able to give it back to them and, you know, retaliate to their attacks. So I think that experience really did stand to us on Sunday. We were at that advantage over Longford.
And of course you bring that tournament winning habit as well with you.
Oh yeah, you know, there was three tournament girls on the side there on Sunday too, and, you know, Nicole, who I don't think I could play without now at this stage, and you know, Shannon McGrawby, who's a serious runner and a serious footballer. So I think, you know, having the two other tournament girls on the team, you know, something I'm very familiar with, you know, really did help my game, and I would hope would help the other girls' games as well.
It was a busy weekend for you because you were in action on Saturday as well. I know you got to go for an early shower, a convincing victory over Down, still in the senior championship as well.
Yes, we did. The game went very well for us on Saturday. You know, we started well, and, you know, when you have a full forward line of Amber Barrett, Jordy McLaughlin and Yvonne McMonigal, they're going to give any team a hard day in the field. So, you know, the girls really did put the game to bed early, and thankfully the under-21s were able to all come off before half-time, so it just gave us the rest that we needed then for the All-Ireland final on Sunday. So we were grateful for that, yeah.
And of course, as we said, All-Ireland to Aisling McGinn B champions at the first attempt. You know, obviously it's been a good experience for Donegal, because I'm sure maybe people are regretting that you hadn't entered the competition before. This was the first time ever.
Yes, exactly. I know. We didn't really know what to expect going into the competition at first, because it was a whole new group of players coming together. But I think the competition has just been so good because it's made some of the younger players stand out as leaders. And now I'm sure that they can bring that same leadership into the senior team, which will no doubt benefit the seniors as well. So it's been just a really great learning process for everyone, and everyone has just improved their game so much playing at that level. And I'm sure that, you know, the senior team will benefit because of it. Hopefully the competition will continue in years to come, because I'm sure it'll do most of the footballers in Donegal a lot of good by participating in it, you know.
From what I gather as well, the Ashley McGinn Cup final or Cup Championship winning celebrations are put on hold because you're back into action this evening in a challenge game, so no rest at all.
No. I think it's the best way to keep, you know, the game has to keep going and the ball has to keep rolling. So, as they say, there's no rest for the wicked. So we have to keep the ball ticking over and making sure that we're all fresh for the seniors now. So we had to put the celebrations on hold, yeah, and, you know, bring it back to reality to continue with the senior competition now.
Yeah, so, because you have a big game Sunday week against Tyrone, isn't that right?
Yes, the Ulster semi-final, yeah, it's a week on Sunday. So
yeah, so hopefully more to celebrate.
Hopefully more to celebrate, yeah.
Yeah. Look, thanks a million for joining us, and continued success and the best of luck in the championship on Sunday week.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
That's Eimear Gallagher there, captain of the victorious Donegal ladies under 21 team, who had that 110-19 victory over Longford on Sunday afternoon down in Markovich Park in Sligo. A first ever Ashley McGinn Cup. And as you heard me say there, actually we spoke to Eimear earlier this evening, because actually Donegal ladies senior team are back in action again tonight. They're playing Sligo in a challenge game. Of course, they came through with that facile victory over Down last Saturday in Brewster Park in the Ulster Championship quarterfinal, 10-35 to 4 points. Yvonne McMonigal, 6 goals. Geraldine McLaughlin, 2. And Amber Barrett, 1. The goal scorers there for Donegal. And they're going to play Tyrone in that Ulster semi-final on Sunday week. In actual fact, Tyrone victors over Cavan. This was a much closer affair and actually went to extra time. Tyrone won 12, Cavan 14 points. Jim Begley's top scorer there for Tyrone, with Jolene Donnelly, one of the Ulster stars as well, getting involved. Cathy Donnelly all among the scorers as well. So it's Donegal versus Tyrone in the Ulster Ladies Championship, Senior Championship semi-final. The reigning champions Armagh and Monaghan meeting in the other semi-final. Those two semi-finals are on Sunday week, and we'll be looking forward to those, obviously, in some depth over the next week or so. But the main focus tonight is, just to remind you as well, of course, Donegal Derry Hurlers are playing in the Ulster semi-final this weekend against Down. They defeated Donegal on Sunday afternoon in what was a depleted Donegal side, and certainly a good performance from Donegal. Derry 3-17, Donegal 5 goals and 7 points. So not much between them, and quite a lot of the bigger names absent from the Donegal side. So one wonders maybe if they're taking it a little bit more serious, could they be looking forward to an Ulster Senior Championship hurling semi-final? Well, that's for another day, but what we can tell you is that Donegal are looking forward to a Senior Championship semi-final meeting with Derry in football. But before we go to that, first of all, just to remind you once again, of course, if you want to take part in the conversation, or you want to have contact with us or text us or whatever, you can do so on 086 77 00 555, or if you're texting us from outside the dialing area, you can text us on 08 00 00 355. I'll just give you that one again, from if you're dialing from the north of Ireland or from outside the local area or the Republic. It's 00 35386 00 00 555. And I know we have listeners right around the world listening to us on the World Wide Web. That's on www.highlandradio.com. But as I said, all roads lead to St. Shinnock's Park and Clonus on Sunday afternoon, and or Saturday afternoon, for the minor semi-final meeting of Donegal and Derry. But the main focus, obviously, this weekend and in all the chat is about Donegal and Derry once again in the Ulster Senior Championship. And Donegal have quite a good record over the Oakleigh men in recent weeks. And I am joined by two men who starred in many of those meetings down the years, Brendan Devaney of Donegal and Paddy Bradley of Derry. First of all, Brendan, a very good night to you.
How you doing, Tom? All right, Paddy.
And how are you, Paddy? Good night to you, and thank you for joining. Oh, Paddy's phone. There's a problem with Paddy's phone. We'll talk to Brendan where we might just try and get Paddy's phone right again just for a moment.
Paddy hasn't paid the bill again. Tommy's getting a tough one
there. Yeah, well, I think we just have a slight problem there with the phone. Maybe Jimmy will just hang up Paddy and we'll just try and ring you back again and see if we get you through on another line. Now, we're having difficulty with the desks here for some calls coming in, but we'll sort that anyway. Anyway, Brendan, looking ahead to the game, what's the feeling in Donegal? Is there a quiet confidence to detect that, or is it just the usual approach?
Yeah, well, I think after all the plaudits of Armagh, you know, a lot of people are kind of trying to keep their feet in the ground. What I was most pleased with in Armagh was just how the Donegal players looked. They were enjoying themselves, how we looked like we were a very fluid team from defence to attack, and how we've really analysed, you know, the All-Ireland final where we come up short. We didn't really pose any threat to Kerry going forward. When Kerry put on their two sweepers, we had our defensive set, you know, system set, but we couldn't trouble them at the other end, and I think that's a big thing now. You know, the likes of McNeely and McBertie, you know, really coming to the fore, and I think the last day, Tom, you know, if you look at it, in Donegal club football terms, we had six half-forwards on the pitch, and I think, you know, when you think about the modern game, players between the 2-21s, once you defend and you sit in and you got the ball, you want half-forwards on the ball. Added to that, you have the likes of, obviously, Lacey and Frank McLennan, these as well, so there's just that everybody's so comfortable on the ball. Either we go direct with Murphy or Neil Gallagher driving it in side to McBertie, or we keep it and we probe and we attack. So, you know, I just can't see any outcome on Saturday with a Donegal victory.
Yeah, and would you be anyway wary at all of Derry? And I know we're just having still some difficulty getting to Paddy. We may actually be only able to take one call at a time. We'll just check that one out again in a minute. But I know Jimmy's working away feverishly there to try and get Paddy sorted. And I can tell you that Paddy has the bill paid, because I was speaking to him earlier on both the mobile and the landline. So it's just unfortunate. We just seem to have some problem on the desk. But in terms of, you know, in terms of Derry, you know, a lot of people seem to be dismissing them. But there hasn't been much between us in the last couple of years.
But you got to think, Tom, that you know, looking back at the last performance, you know, they obviously got relegated from Division One, and you hear me right there.
Seem to have some problem there with Brendan's phone now.
I'm back again then.
Yeah, okay, sorry about that.
you're right.
Somebody about to pull the plug on you as well.
I would watch my mouth. Just looking at the last game, no, in the first half, I was at the game, though. I was covering the game, and like, Derry were very, I thought, they were very good first half. They were very physical against a very light down team. You know, obviously, they're two main men, are Lynch and Paddy's brother Owen. Two fantastic players, but very much carrying the team. You know, big Virgil Doherty giving an awesome performance in midfield. Patty Bradley, I don't think he's going to be back. He'll be partnered by Holly. But their defence was very good. Well enough marshalled first half, but they had down completely by the throat and should have blew them away, 10-6 up. And if they had blew them away, they might have gone. We might have been thinking, Tom, maybe. But, you know, just looking around the pitch, the modern teams are too well prepared. And, you know, even listening to McIver saying, you know, he said when they went down to 14 men, it's not going to help us. You know, well, that's his job, to change up the team, you know, to put two men right in the end line, put three half forwards, keep them up there, get a bit of attack and momentum going. Derry weren't even able to get short kickouts with a spare man. Down were able to get short kickouts, and they were a man down. So, you know, you got to think, you know, how well prepared are Derry. You know, they're obviously haven't got as good as players as us, but I think, looking at how we played against Armagh, we were right on the money. And, you know, I just think our lads are going to enjoy the challenge. I think Derry are going to sit. They're going to have to sit to get down against Dublin, probably, if they have any chance. And I think our guys will enjoy picking holes in them.
Anyway, I think we can go to Paddy Bradley now. Paddy, good night to you.
All right, Tom, how's it going?
Ah, yeah, he was saying you hadn't the bill paid, but I was reassuring our listeners that you had, because I was speaking to you both on the landline and the mobile earlier on. Anyway, but that's what you get with live radio. What's the mood in Derry, Paddy?
I suppose Derry's
going
into the game as huge underdogs. That's a good way to end any game, particularly an Ulster semi-final. Donegal have been very, very impressive. I was at the last two games, you know, against Tyrone. I thought they were very, very good in the first half, in both that game and in the Armagh game. In fact, I think that the first half against Armagh was probably the best performance or half of football I've seen Donegal play in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. So, you know, Derry only sort of stumbled across the line against Down, even though they played the whole second half of man advantage. So, not many's given them hope, but look, it's a nice way to go into a game, and there's a wee bit of optimism about, like, Derry have good footballers, and they seem to have got a fairly decent defensive structure. You know, if they don't give frees away, they showed last year, like, in the first round in Celtic Park, Donegal sort of, okay, they weren't firing on all cylinders, but they struggled to break them down, so they're hoping that their defensive structure holds firm, and it's about, you know, getting big games from men further up the field, the likes of, I suppose, Owen and Mark Lynch, and hoping other boys, probably Keelan the Boyle there, seems to, the word in the street seems to be that he's pushing very hard for a starting spot, you know, trying to get big games from them boys, and, you know, more hopeful than, I suppose, than expectancy.
But as you said, going into it in a good way as the underdog.
Oh, this is it. Like, there's not many, like, anywhere you read or anybody you chat to, you know, will tell you that, you know, Donegal won the game handy enough. But as I say, Derry troubled them, you know, last year for long periods. You know, Donegal struggled to break them down. Okay, Donegal seemed to be a different animal this year. But, like, you know, Owen wasn't playing last year, and he's a big bonus to have back there. And, you know, the boys are more mature. Fergal Doherty's going well again in the middle of the field, and whenever Fergal goes well, you know, the team go well.
Yeah, and the ironic thing about it last year as well, they were going well, and then he got injured early in that game as well, and obviously that caused was a problem for Derry as well.
That was a massive blow. Like, he's not the captain of the team, he is the leader. And, you know, in the lead up to the Down game, he hadn't played a whole pile of football, you know, and he had been carrying all sorts of different knocks and injuries, but you could tell in the Down game too, he wasn't 100% fit, but, you know, he played it smart between the two 45s, you know, he kept in the middle of the field, you know, he'd done his usual, you know, fetching ball in the middle of the field, but non-hits, you know, kept it simple. Mm-hmm. And whenever he's on the field, his presence alone is a massive lift to the boys around him, and, you know, he's been wrapped under cotton wool for the last couple of weeks, and they're expecting another big performance from him and a heap of fun.
It might be a slight exaggeration to say it, but that win over Down was a monkey off the back for a lot of this current Derry squad, because they hadn't won a championship game.
Definitely, and I suppose, you know, in the 10 or 12 years I played for Derry, particularly at the start of my career, you know, Celtic Park was known as about as a fortress, because, you know, there wasn't many teams came to Celtic Park either in league or championship and got away with the result. But in the last 4 or 5 years, you know, I think it was 2 or 3 years in a row there that, you know, they lost the first round of the championship at home. And as you say, it was a monkey in their backs, and they definitely did struggle, you know, to get over the line against Down. But they did go over the line against Down, and they gained a whole lot of confidence from that. Now, Donegal is a totally different animal.
Mm.
But look, as I said, you know, they're going to be underdogs, and, you know, there's nothing to lose. Like, at the end of the day, there's nobody giving them much of a chance. And there's a lot of boys there that have been playing over the last 7 or 8 years, you know, the likes of Fergal and Owen and Mark Lynch, and these boys have been beating a whole lot of Ulster semi-finals, and, you know, they'll be mad keen to get into another Ulster final.
Yeah. Tato Gears, the Clash and Clark, Tom and Nook, asking in a shock than a shot of me, Tom Cormack. My special guests tonight are Brendan Devaney and Paddy Bradley, who you just heard. And, well, they're looking ahead to Saturday's Ulster semi-final meeting of Donegal and Derry. Of course, a repeat of last year's first round quarterfinal and clash in Celtic Park. Brendan, back to you for a moment. Are we, as Donegal supporters, reading too much into Armagh? Was it that our Donegal were exceptionally good that day, or was it just maybe, as people were saying afterwards, it was Division 1 team versus Division 3?
Yeah, certainly it seemed to affect Armagh, but as we were thinking, Tom, the one thing we would have thought would have been intensity. I thought Armagh was going to be in our face and at home and the crowd and all that, but it's funny, certain managers, you know, give certain squads a lift, and I think McGeaney came in, the legend that he is, and got a serious response last year from Armagh, and everybody thought they were going to kick on, but really, you know, they look like they've gone back terribly, because they gave us a game last year. Obviously, they beat Tyrone, they drew Monaghan, they beat Meath. They went on a bit of a run probably before they met us, and I think we played really poorly in that game. So I don't know, did they go on kind of expecting us to be like we were last year? Because I think we probably played a 5 or 6 out of 10 that day. You know, nobody really played well, so it's hard to kind of evaluate that. Maybe if you look at Tyrone, people maybe not expecting Tyrone to give us the game that they did. So kind of you're wondering how, you know, Tyrone, I think it'd be dangerous probably going into these matches. You know, there's times they kind of controlled the game against us, but for literally 70 minutes we controlled it against them. And it's hard to say, Tom. Again, Derry are a Division 2 team, you know, probably at the minute at best, so it's a big, big gap for them to bridge to be able to take our lads. And as I say, our boys look like they're really enjoying the game. You know, you look at 2012 and coming through the qualifier round, and through Ulster, and it looked like Donegal were relishing it. You kept thinking, going into these big games at Croke Park, were they going to be flat? But they just went up and up and up. Mm-hmm. And I think Gallagher, with a new type of training, he has the boys very fresh. And not that that's anything against McGuinness. McGuinness, what he did at the time was obviously unbelievable. But I think it started to kind of lose its shape and started to come up against teams playing like us. We struggled. So Gallagher's obviously addressed that. But, you know, as I say, the best thing about it is the sheer skill that we have. You know, there's so many lads comfortable on the ball. You know, you could literally name every player in that starting 15 from the last day is comfortable on the ball, wants to use it well. And that's the big challenge that sets Derry on Saturday.
And tell me, as a Donegal supporter heading to Clonus on Saturday, you mentioned Owen Bradley, and you mentioned Mark Lynch. Are they the two main threats, or are there any other things about this Derry team that would worry you?
See, that's what I was saying, Tom. The fact that they're relying on him. I mean, last year, if you're looking at Lynch, obviously straight away, like Lacey picked him up last year. Now Lynch likes to come around the back of the move. He tends to be for me a first half player. You know, I see him playing his best football in the first half, not the second half. And if like the last day, he scored a point from play against Down just with about 5 minutes to go in the first half, and as the play started to develop, I was looking at him waiting on the ball to be popped out almost like rugby style. And I was thinking, if I was a Down defender, then I'd just go to Lynch, because the rest of the players, apart from Owen, aren't able to kick the ball over the bar from there. But, you know, Down were very naive. They let him come back, kick the ball. But I noticed last year, like, Lacey pushed on to Lynch. Now, last year they didn't have Owen, which is fair enough. I think he's one of the best players in Ireland. You know, he's a real maverick player. But we have the best fullback in Ireland that'll mark him. And Owen, I think, he's coming back to fitness. I mean, you've seen how brilliant he was against Down, and I still think he wasn't as fit as he could have been. He had an injury. And I think he'll obviously have come on a good bit, but with Neil McGee breaking out of the fence and that, will he want to be tracking him? You know, if I was there ahead of McGee, you know, marking him tight, but breaking all the time and really disrupting his play. Now, there's no doubt he'll cause Donegal problems, but while they're relying on him too, there's just so many options for Donegal going forward. That's why, as I say, it'd be very difficult for him to win the game.
Mm. What do you make of the James Keelt pulling out of the squad, Paddy? Does that worry you in any way?
No, James, look, this happens in squads, you know, down through the country year in, year out. I suppose James probably wasn't happy with the lack of game time he was getting. He's obviously a very capable footballer, and there was, I suppose, two changes in the forward line against Down, and he was obviously disappointed that he wasn't one of the changes. The other side of the coin was the fact that this year, for the first time in a long time, you know, the Derry county footballers have been pulled for more club games than usual. You know, they were pulled maybe for four or five games there, and James, like, I suppose all the other boys in the sub bench, wasn't getting much time, you know, game time for his club, and he probably felt his football has been affected. So it's disappointing, because at the end of the day, James Keelt is a very capable footballer in terms of, you know, kicking the ball over the bar. You know, Derry don't have an abundance of players that can, you know, knock her over from 45 yards away. Probably Mark Lynch can or Owen can, and it definitely would have been an option, you know, so it's disappointing.
Yeah, and obviously you mentioned there the county players not playing with the club for four or five games. Obviously, Derry really putting a lot, Brian McIver putting a lot into this game and this particular championship.
Well, I suppose, you see, you know, the pressure, I suppose, is on Brian to a certain extent. The fact that, you know, in the last 2 years, you know, he's had two home draws and he never won an Ulster Championship victory, and then, you know, went out of the qualifiers unexpectedly against Cavan and Longford, so... You know, really, there was no excuses this year, and they've had the best preparation possible. And, you know, part of that preparation and part of the excuses maybe down through the years were that club or the county players were playing pretty much club football. So that really can't be an excuse this year, and seems to be a benefit in that, because it's a more united group, you know, and, you know, against Down. You know, obviously they get the victory, but like it's all boiling down to Saturday evening, because, you know, they really need to up it a massive amount from that Down performance.
Yeah.
Because what they were just then wouldn't be.
I know. I hear somebody in distress in the background, Paddy. Oh, you probably need. You probably need to go to attend to them. But just before you go, team wise, do you expect any changes from the last day?
I would say probably from what I'm hearing, you know, around the county, it seems to be keeling the boil. Seems to be pushing very hard. I suppose Benny Hearn was disappointing for his own high standards at the last day out. And you know, keeling the boil is somebody that has been playing very well with his club. He's only rejoined the panel, so this. They're expecting Keelan maybe to start inside along with Owen, but other than that, I'd say Derry will set up exactly the same way, same personnel.
Would the fact that Keelan O'Boyle being on the edge of the square along with Owen Bradley worry you, Brendan Devaney? I think it's Brendan gone. Maybe it's Brendan that has the distress in the background.
Yeah, he'd be a target man. I mean, I don't know, last year they struggled to get a touch yet, and you know, when Celtic Park, he started the last day. And listen, you know, maybe having one inside, I think Derry's problem will be a bit of it like Fermanagh's on Sunday. They pack their defence, they'll keep Donegal to a low score, but it's, the problem then is getting enough men to commit forward, whereas Donegal will break with a lot of pace. I mean, they scored 12 points against Down. You know, are they going to get 12 against Donegal? Are they going to stop Donegal getting that many? I mean, Donegal's a much tighter unit than Down are, so I know it'll be a completely separate game, but, you know, it's going to be difficult for them. If they played with Boyle inside and played Paddy off them, they still have to get to a level on the pitch where they can drive that ball in, like you've seen Murphy doing and Big Neil doing the last day to McBurdy. That's what they would love. But if you've so many men back, as we've seen when they come into their shell last day against Down, it's difficult then to have the men going forward to trouble the opposition.
Because I recall, was it maybe, what, 4 years ago, a league game in Celtic Park, it was probably one of Jim McGinnis' first games. Keelan O'Boyle calls Donegal. I think he got a couple of goals in the first few minutes against Donegal.
Yeah, I remember that, Tom. Right, that was before we started to strangle everybody in the country. Yeah, that was back in the when we were still learning their trade. We got good since then, Tom.
Yeah, I think funny enough, my view of that game was that we had been strangling people, but we were forced to come out that night, and we think we scored 218 or something. I think.
Yeah,
that's...
well, funny, Tom, the one man that we don't maybe haven't made it, they mentioned too much, is Paul Durkin as well. You know, you have to say when Armagh did break through us the last day. I mean, the man's a colossus. Like, for me, he's, you know, best keeper in the country. And you know, what a top drawer save he pulled out just to extinguish any light at the end of the tunnel for Armagh the last day. And, you know, he'd be a big player for us as the summer goes on.
And tell me, Brendan, are you hearing any word on the ground about a Donegal team?
Nothing yet, Tom. Just that the training's going well and everybody's enjoying it. I was speaking to somebody who was at the training the last day, and they likened it to the session late on as like a soccer training. Lads was just enjoying their football. You know, it seems to be the way off at the minute. If you only keep at the top, Tom, all the time. They used to say this about Ulster teams versus the teams down the country. Because it's such a battle here and we play football a certain way, it may take a lot out of you. You know, you'd lose your style, whereas Kerry's and Dublin's and these kind of play a nicer brand of football, which I'm sure everybody kind of enjoys more. Which, you know, if it's your hobby like that, if it's your pastime is playing for your county, all that helps. So I think Rory, after, you know, 4 tough years of training, is trying to inject that into Donegal, and that's the thing that I think will stand us well this summer. The lads are all want to get on the ball, want to enjoy the football, work hard, but, you know, certainly express themselves. We have so many good players to do that. I'm really looking forward to the summer's football.
And it's Donegal for you without question.
Yes, sir.
And Paddy, is there a chance for Derry?
Well, look, it's looking very unlikely. Just, you know, hope Derry put on a good performance, but, you know, the thing that's impressed me with Donegal is their ability to interchange. You know, I like them to, if Fergal Vickery coming out of the Derry midfield, for example, you know, who goes in? Whereas Donegal could put Neil Gallagher, Owen McNellis, you know, Martin McElhinney, they could put anybody in there. They could put Murphy to fall forward, McBurdy, Neil Gallagher. There's just so many options, and I don't see Derry having the same options as Donegal. And I think over the course of the game, Donegal will just wear them down. I think Derry will definitely make it difficult, but as Brenton says, Derry's ability or struggle to transition from defence to attack will ultimately their own doing.
Thank you to Brendan Devaney there, and also thanks to Paddy Bradley who joined us, and apologies about the difficulties with the call, the phone at the start, but that was our desk here and it wasn't anything got to do with Paddy's phone or Brendan's phone. But anyway, that's the beauty of live radio. That about wraps it up from me from another night. Just remember you as well, of course, Tyrone back in action, hoping to get back on the bike this weekend. The All-Ireland qualifiers, they play Limerick on Sunday in Healy Park, and of course those of you heading to Clonus early on Saturday afternoon, remember it's Donegal versus Derry in the Ulster Minor Football Championship semi-final on Saturday evening. Throw in 5:15 for that one. From me, Tom Cormack, from Jimmy Stafford on sound, from Emer Gallagher, from Paddy Bradley, and from Brendan Devaney, Slán agus Bannach, Gaeilge Shachtan Shohagin.